So you've heard some good stories about how these programs that we partner with have real lives and real stories behind them. And so I hope over the past few weeks, as we've talked about other ministries like our partnership with Young Life on November 1st, and then last week we did our Step Renewal with CBM, you're getting a picture that this outreach that we do is important. And so that's why we're highlighting it this Sunday. And later on, as we collect our offering, we're going to encourage you to set aside some extra funds for the offering, even today, as we contribute to our outreach fund. I just want to clarify all these things. The main things that when we reflect on this as a church council and outreach committee and as a church, the things that we're participating in, Young Life, which is also a Skate Life connection, the STEP partnership with Bolivia, the ESL-MCN partnership, Mustard Seed, IVCF, and the refugee sponsorship that we have with the No Brothers. So that's six pretty big things. And so as a minister here, I get all these things that come across the desk of all these needs and needs and needs in the city. And we're pretty full with what we do as a church. Now, other people are locally involved in things, and we try to help out in those things, but those are the big six that we are investing in these days. We're going to reflect for a few minutes on the First Testament text and connect it to this idea of outreach as we follow this story of Hannah, an interesting, fascinating story. And so let's take a few minutes just to reflect on this First Testament text from 1 Samuel, and then also reflect on how God might be continuing to stir up our imaginations for the gospel here as the people God at first. We're introduced to Hannah's plight early in the text. She has a hard life. A fruitful womb in this context is a reason to be proud. A barren womb is a reason to be ashamed. And not only does she live in shame, but she has an adversary, Peninnah, who we read provokes her severely. And so it goes on year after year after year after year. These yearly treks to Shiloh for festivals where Hannah has to spend time with Peninnah. And the shame and the scorn builds up. And the layers of Peninnah's hearts harden. Peninnah's heart hardens, hardened heart. And of course, then Hannah's heart is wounded and more broken. And she's so deeply wounded that we even read of physiological effects that this has on her. She's in a state of perpetual sadness. She's wasting away because of the verbal abuse, the scorn. If this was the 20th or 21st century, I'm convinced that Hannah would have ended up in the psych ward. And so in the midst of this, we're privy to her husband's unbelievable comments. Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? I call this OMC number one, oblivious man comment number one. OMC. Like, does he not get it? We who can read this text from a different perspective, what's happening with Elkanah? It's interesting to see that in this messy story of ours, that people mess up. It's right there in our sacred text. Women, don't get too haughty, because God is an equal opportunity picker on her, as you read other stories in the Word of God. And so we move into verse 9, and I present to you the quietest supper in the Bible. Elkanah sitting with Hannah. If you've been married for a while, you've probably had some of those. Or if you've had a roommate for a long time, you've had those silent suppers where all you hear is the clinging of the utensil scraping against the plate or the bowl. Yes? The quietest meal in the Bible. But in the midst of this, Hannah rose, presented herself before the Lord. And Eli the priest is sitting at the temple. And Hannah prays before the Lord. She goes to the temple. She makes this vow and she pleads with God to show her mercy in the midst of her misery. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." That beautiful priestly moment of Eli that I call OMC number two. What is Eli thinking? Does he not get it? This time, Hannah defends herself, and she speaks. She says, "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before my Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." And Eli does recover. It's hard to tell whether in this text that he's being flippant or authentic, but he does say, "Go in peace. The God of Israel will grant the petition you have made to him." And a transformation happens in verse 18. Her countenance was sad no longer. And as we move through the end of this reading today, verses 19 and 20, we learn of a miracle. The womb that was barren is now transformed. Hannah becomes pregnant and bears a son, Samuel. So let's, for a few moments, reflect on this story. I want us to reflect on the perseverance of Hannah's faith, the deep emotion of her faith, and the plural years of toil and hardship that she went through as she sought after God's mercy and favor. Would we endure years of toil and hardship as we awaited God to answer the prayers of our heart? This is not a message for us to pray that barren women would have babies. Today I'd suggest that this message is for us to look ahead and understand that miracles and important chapters of God's story are born out of hardship, heartache, and suffering. And even as we move towards Advent, this story points further to the Advent story that we'll soon be engaging in. That the good news story that was brought through Jesus is too a story born out of pain, perseverance, and hardship. One phrase I read this week, Samuel would be the one who will anoint kings. Jesus would be the one who will be King of Kings. So even in the midst of today's outreach theme, what's the way that God's moving amongst us? It's not about us trying to create more neat and logical and tidy programs. It's us, every one of us, as this community of faith, being outreach by living out God's story and entering into the stories of people, being willing to have our lives interrupted and complicated by the toils of life, the struggles and pains of humankind. My question, one of the questions I have for you to reflect on this morning is, do you and I have time to be inconvenienced by each other, whether it be within or outside of our community of faith? Do we have time to be inconvenienced by others, whether it be inside or outside our community of faith? This doesn't look the same for any of us as we respond, so I'd suggest that part of our response this morning is to be a people who engage our minds in this gospel imagination, praying persistently, and this may take months or years, but praying that God might reveal to us what it looks like for us to individually or corporately be the good news of the gospel. We've heard some good stories this morning, so whether it be the ESL partnership or working alongside students in IVCF or supporting staff workers or working with the mustard seed, how do we continue to be the good news of the gospel? I'll just close with providing a starting point because our vision statement is the starting point. We want to seek the peace and well-being of the city. But I've added, and you'll see it on the back of your bulletin as I've talked about the Both And Church, as we seek the peace and well-being of the city, we do it as a Jesus-shaped community. And my latest reflections on what a Jesus-shaped community looks like is that it's a place of radical welcome, radical submission, and radical generosity. So if you're looking for something to hang on to as we go into prayer today, welcome, radical submission, and radical generosity. And when I say radical, I don't mean that 90s version of radical where it's like, cool, we're going to do cool welcome or cool submission. I mean the Latin radix. And if you look up the Latin word radix, it means to the root. So I think, okay, that's a great way of thinking about radical. Rooted welcome, rooted submission, rooted generosity. What might we root that in? And over the past few weeks, I've talked about being a people who are grounded in grace, rooted in love. And so I think those might be some of the soil of what we might root this welcome, this submission, and this generosity in. Grace and love. I was talking to a colleague this week who was talking about being a church that's generous. And she compared the church to herself. She said, whenever I come to the world with fists closed, feeling protective, limited, stingy, there seems to be little that God can do in and through me. I assume that God's not enough, and there isn't enough to go around. It is lack of faith and trust and hope. In fact, it completely shrivels the fruit of the Spirit. However, when I frame my life around the posture of open hands, open heart, that there's plenty for all, suddenly God is the God of abundance and possibility. So as you play with those words, even today in this week, this welcome, the word submission, the word generosity, maybe those phrases will help you play with that in light of a gospel imagination. I want to allow us just for a quiet moment of prayer to pray and to respond to God. And as I set up that prayer, I'm going to close with some words from Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2. So I'll read a few verses and then a quiet moment for us to reflect and respond to God as we cultivate this gospel imagination, as we think on what it means to be a people of radical welcome, radical submission, radical generosity. Let's pray together. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength." The feeble gird on strength. God, in our weakness today, in our poverty, perhaps in our sadness, in whatever we're feeling today, stir up our gospel imagination. What does it mean for us to be good news in this city, in this place, during this season? God, challenge us to reflect on radical welcome, radical submission to each other out of love, radical generosity. Move in us, community of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.